just a game, then.
He kicked at some of the wood that rebounded near to his feet, and when he missed it, he scooped up the plank instead and snapped it in half, then threw both pieces, sending them spinning across the room.
Stop it!
Yuin demanded. Brunner froze, stared her hard in the eye, then calmly walked over and picked up another chair. With a look of supreme defiance at this dwarf who would be his mother, he lifted the chair high and brought it crashing down on the floor, smashing it to kindling. Yuin wailed and fled the room. Brunner followed her, only far enough to slam the bedchamber door behind her. He went back to his original position, though the chair was gone, and picked up his bandage to continue his work. But then he snarled and growled and spat and threw it, too, across the room. He glanced back at the door, and only then fully realized what he had just done, and done to an undeserving and always supportive dwarf widow. The shame overwhelmed him and sent him to his knees, where he threw his face into his hands and wept openly. Shoulders bobbing in sobs, Brunner lay down on the stone and splintered wood. He fell asleep right there, face wet with tears, and troubling dreams began to descend upon him and flitter up like dark wings all around him. Dreams of Catti Bree lying dead, of Obul's orcs drinking mead with tankards marked by the foaming mug, the standard of Mithril Hall. And indeed, drinking mead within Mithril Hall, and in a room littered with dwarf corpses. The room's door banged open, startling him awake, but it took him a long while, time he didn't have, to determine if this was reality or another image in his dream. He finally figured it out when King Emerus Warcrown lifted him roughly to his feet and slapped him across the face. Behind the king, Parson Glaive stood solemnly, hands intertwined before him in prayer.
"What are ye about, then?"
the king demanded.
"What?"
Brunner stammered, not knowing where to begin.
"How dare ye dishonor your da?"
Emerus shouted in his face.
"How dare ye treat your ma as such?"
Brunner shook his head, but could not begin to offer a response. Not verbally. Dishonor? The word screamed in his mind. Could these two even begin to understand the word? He had died a good dwarf's death. He had earned his place at Moradin's side, and it had been taken from him through guilt and a foolish choice. Dishonor? That was dishonor, not some meaningless argument, in a meaningless house, in a meaningless citadel. His previous existence, his glorious tenure as king of Mithril Hall, had been ripped from relevance. Oh, and not by his own impulsive, foolishly emotional choice, but by the mere fact that he had been given that choice in the first place. What point this, any of it, if a god's whim could undo everything?
Well, little R. Reginald?
Emerus Warcrown growled in his face.
What have ye got to say?
What playthings we be,
Brunner replied quietly, calmly. The king looked at him curiously, then glanced back at Parson Glaive, who opened his eyes at the young dwarf's curious words.
"Self-congratulating?"
Brunner went on undeterred. He gave a helpless chuckle.
"And all our great deeds be tiny spots on the altars of the laughing gods."
"His father,"
Parson Glaive explained to the king, who nodded and turned back to Brunner.
"Ye don't know me, father,"
Brunner snarled at him,
"nor his father afore him."
He was sitting on the floor then, flying down at the end of a fist, with the room swimming around him in uneven turns.
"Your time on the training grounds is done, Reginald,"
Emerus Warcrown told him.
"Ye go out and fight aside them that's keeping Felbar free of damned orcs, and then ye come back and tell me about your playthings. If ye live to get back to me, I'm meanin'."
They left abruptly, King Emerus first, and Brunner caught a glimpse of him offering Yuin a much-needed hug before Parson Glaive, with a profound and purposely loud sigh, closed the bedroom door. Perhaps no section of Citadel Felbar was more revered and less visited than this one. where rows and rows of piled stones stretched into the vast darkness of the huge cavern. The cemetery of Clan Warcrown encompassed many rooms, and a new one was always under construction. Brunner heard the solitary digger's pick chipping at the stone when he entered the main chamber of the cemetery, the heart-like cadence ringing somewhere far off in the distance to his left. He moved to his right, across the huge main room, the oldest room, and through one low tunnel into the next section. This room, too, he crossed, and another beyond the next tunnel, and another beyond that. He could no longer hear the lonely tap of the worker, who was digging out a chamber that would not be used for decades. As most of this solemn place was a testament to the past, to the fallen of the clan, so that dwarf excavator was the promise of the future. Citadel Felbar would go on, and she would bury her dead with reverence and tradition. The thought nagged at Brunner as he passed into the last chamber out here on the right flank of the centuries-old graveyard.
"A testament?"
he heard himself muttering with clear distaste. He came to the cairn of Reginald Roundshield, his father. He didn't know what to feel concerning the dwarf. He had never really known him, though so many spoke highly of him. And surely, Eoin's character spoke highly of any dwarf who would take her as a wife. He stared at the inscription that bore his father's name, his name.
"No,"
he said emphatically at the thought. Never his name. He was Brunner Battlehammer of Clan Battlehammer, the 8th king of Mithril Hall and the 10th king of Mithril Hall. And what did that mean?
"Ah, Reginald,"
he said, for he felt as if he should say something. He had come out here, after all, to the cairn of a respected warrior.
"Arar, they called ye, and with great affection. Might be that yourself was Emerus's puente."
The mention of his own trusted guard sent Brunner's thoughts spinning back to Gontalgrim and that last fateful battle. All had been lost, so it had seemed. But then in had come the dwarves of Icewind Dale, led by Stokely Silverstream, and most importantly, with old Thibbledorf Puent in tow. Nay, not in tow, never in tow, but leading the charge. As always, Puent had been there, fighting beside Brunner, propping Brunner up, helping Brunner along. Untiring, without surrender, ever with hope and ever full of the word of Moradin,